Welcome to The Human Experience, a podcast about the stories we live out every day and the importance of championing the vulnerability and courage of the storyteller. I'm your host, Jennifer Peterkin, and it was through my own lived story of experiencing domestic violence that this podcast was created. By traveling the globe and interviewing each guest in person, I am convinced now more than ever that stories have the power to change the world. You can join our community of storytellers by subscribing, leaving a rating and review, signing up for my newsletter, following me on Instagram, and more. Thank you for being here. In a world full of noise, to listen with intention is an act of resistance.
Being around people who don't look and think like us can really expand our mind, and we can, you know, learn a lot more. I just want to highlight the stories just because when you put a name to the face or the story, like, you are able to be more compassionate, more empathetic, and it's like, wow, like, this person went through X, Y, and Z to get here, to be part of the land of the free, because that is what America was made about, right? Being free and the freedom and being able to be who you want to be and things like that.
Episode 40 of The Human Experience is Heidi's story. Heidi is a writer, speaker, podcast coach, and the host of the American Dreams in the Eyes of Immigrants podcast. As the daughter and wife of people that have immigrated to the United States, Heidi has had a lot of experience navigating the challenges and the triumphs immigrants have while building their homes and their lives in the U.S. Her podcast, The American Dream in the Eyes of Immigrants, is a platform for compassionate storytelling and understanding as she elevates the voices of those who may go unheard. You can find links to Heidi's website, podcast, and socials in the show notes. This episode was recorded in DeLand, Florida.
Well, I want to start where obviously you want to start in terms of what your story is. Like, I know you have your podcast and you're in a book.
Yes, a poetry book.
Yeah, a book and a blog.
Yes.
I mean, you've got it all going on.
I want to hit
all of it. But I want to obviously start where you want to start. Like, what is your story to you? You have a podcast about immigrants and coming to America. So clearly that has played some role in your life.
Yes. Yeah. So my parents came from the Dominican Republic in the 90s. So okay. I was born here. Well, born in New York, sorry. So born here in the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
Born in New York, but I was raised in Michigan. So what happened was my dad actually was involved in a robbery. Like, he was a victim.
Wow.
So he was like in a what they call bodega, they're like the corner stores in New York. And the guy came in and threw my dad like into a freezer and like, it was like robbing. And, you know, that was super traumatic. So my dad was like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
So a friend of his lived in Michigan, Grand Rapids to be exact. And he was like, hey, come over here. There's a lot of factory jobs. You know, everything was good in economy wise back then. So they decided to go to Michigan. So that's where I was raised. Back then, there wasn't a lot of a Hispanic community. You know, okay. It was very minimal. And even growing up, I feel like there's more Dominicans now than what there was back then. Mm. So, like, I just remember, like, having to translate for him, having to go to the store to, like, translate and things like that, having to help him with, like, doctor's appointments and, you know, just pretty much read documents for him and try to translate those as a child. Obviously, like, I didn't want to, but it's like, you know, I had to help him.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, why can't you learn English? You know, me as a child thinking, you know, right. As an adult. But then like as an adult looking back, it's like, it's not that easy.
Right.
You know, it's easier for a child to pick up a language than what it is an adult. But I do like specifically remember like going into kindergarten not knowing English. So they, you know, spoke to me only in Spanish. And I had this teacher who would like translate for me, which was really nice. And then I also have like memories. I did do 1 year of schooling in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
I think that was before I started kindergarten here. So it's just like just knowing firsthand, like the struggles that immigrants go through, like trying to like navigate a new country that's not the same, like trying to figure out the processes. And some processes are easier here than what they are in the home country. Like, for example, like getting your driver's license or like doing those tedious errands that we don't like here. Man, in other countries, it will take like a whole day and maybe a whole day and a half just because it'll be like, oh, you're missing this document or we don't have, or the person who needs to do it is not here today, blah, blah, blah. But like that can be a hassle, you know, back home, but then it can also be a hassle here just because we don't know like where are we supposed to go to get sure. X, Y, Z. So just having to like help your parents with that and things like that. And then like not having help for your homework mm-hmm. was another thing. It's like, I can't really ask my dad because he doesn't really understand, you know, the language. And so that was another thing. So, like, I really never really asked for help with the homework. If I couldn't figure out, then it was just like I couldn't figure it out. So that was another big thing. I do appreciate, though, like him and my stepmom were like always there for me for games. Mm. Which I know I had a guest, two sisters beyond, and they were explaining how like their parents couldn't be at their extracurricular activities because they were always working mm-hmm. long hours, multiple jobs. And so I do appreciate them just being there at all my games, away and home, just like making that sacrifice to be there for me. And I want to say like they were the only Hispanic parents who were there. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, wow. Yeah, because, you know, like when Hispanics come, they usually go for, not go, but they usually have to take like the low paying jobs, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of times they are very educated in their home country.
Right.
Like they have their doctors, their lawyers. But when they come here, it's a whole different system mm-hmm. that they don't recognize their diploma. So right. for example, my stepmom, she has her bachelor's degree in hospitality. But when she got here, she wasn't able to find a job in that area. So she ended up working at a hospital. So as a nursing aide. And so from there, she like kind of like worked her way up. And so she just all her experience has just been in the hospital okay. and then doctor's office. So like that's what she does.
Yeah.
You know, but she has her degree, right, you know, right. and she wasn't just able to find a job here within that. Mm. So just things like that. And then like me working at a doctor's office too, like I met so many doctors who had to work as medical assistants, mm. you know, because when they get here, they have to take like 3 more exams in English. So not their language and things like that. So it's kind of like a lot of hurdles to be able to do your profession that, you know, you studied in your home country here. So all of that to say that I started this podcast because I wanted to highlight what happens once they arrive, immigrants. And it all started, I am a writer, so I write on Medium. And so I was reading an article, and it was this immigrant from Kenya. She had came to the United States. I don't remember what age, but she was explaining how each cultural shock that she experienced here really diminished her confidence. Mm. And I was like, wow, like we don't talk about that. So then I remember going to my husband. He was born in the Dominican Republic. He came when he was 9.
Okay.
I remember going to him after reading the article, and I was like, hey, look, I just read this and that. Like, do you remember when you got here? Like how you felt, like what you saw? And he was like, yes. You know, I was 9 years old. That was years ago, but I still vividly remember, you know, everything. So then he was telling me how at 9, he was so excited to come to the United States because they were going to be reunited with his dad. And he was like, they came from Dominican Republic to New York. So he was like, those buildings were so tall. The road was so wide. And he was like, and there was no trees. He was just wondering, like, where are the trees?
Yeah.
So yeah, he vividly remembers, and I was like, oh my gosh, like just him listening to his experience and what he remembered and how he felt, I was like, that's the podcast episode. It's like, okay, this is what the podcast is going to be about, because I wanted to launch a podcast back in 2019.
Okay.
So what I was going to do was have a friend come on and just share the good stuff that they're doing in their life, because I was like, a lot of, like, we don't celebrate ourselves enough, so like, I kind of want to just celebrate the average like person, right?
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to start a podcast, there you go. There's an idea.
Free idea. You're welcome.
So that's what I was going to do. But then I read the article. That was in 2019. And then 2020, you know, we had the pandemic.
Yeah.
I was dealing with a lot of mental health issues in that year. 2021, I was pregnant. And then I was dealing with that pregnancy. So I was like, okay, I can't, you know, do that right now. And then 2022, I was like, okay, I'm done with school. I'm not pregnant. You know, we're heading down the pandemic. Like, okay, this is the year I'm going to launch this. So
yeah.
April of 2022, I finally launched. I started talking with friends and family because, you know, we're all immigrants. So it was really exciting to launch it, but then also like nerve-wracking, like who's going to want to listen to this, you know? But it's been fun for the past year. I've learned so much, and I'm just grateful to God that he put this in my heart and that I actually like stepped out in faith. And because it's been amazing, like the people that I've met, the cultures that I've learned about, and I would eventually, like you're doing, would like to travel if like the person can't come to me, like me go to them to like, you know, see them face to face and everything and talk to them like in person, because I feel like that's a lot better than, you know, the virtual and everything. So that's
it's
how
different for it sure. Is. It's different. I don't, you know, I understand and appreciate the access that being online provides, right? But it is, there is something special about being face to face with somebody. Yes. So for your dreams, I hope that that happens for you. But I think what you're doing is really valuable on multiple levels. I think probably for you personally, it's something that really maybe was something that you wish, and sorry if I'm projecting, you can tell me if I'm wrong. but something like you wish that you had when you were younger in terms of voices to talk that were like talking about these things.
Yeah.
And then you got married to somebody that was an immigrant, and, you know, finding out that he has been through all of these emotions as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you are in community with a lot of immigrants. And so as a pillar of that community, kind of moving forward and saying like, I want to highlight and elevate these voices, because there's a lot of valuable information and there's a lot of their stories matter, right? Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I never realized until I was older that I got more involved in like keeping up with the news to see what was going on. I never realized like what a negative light there was towards the immigration and immigrants. And so that's really like what sparked it. Cause I like to be well informed on, you know, whatever side, right? So then when I was like reading articles, I was like, man, these news outlets are talking about, you know, a certain event, but like the way that they're describing is like 100% opposite, like completely different. So I was like, man. So I'm just like, I just want to highlight the stories, just cause when you put a name to the face or the story, like you are able to be more compassionate, more empathetic. And it's like, wow, like this person went through X, Y, and Z like to get here, to be part of the land of the free. Because that is what America was made about, right? Being free and the freedom and being able to be who you want to be and things like that. Because there are a lot of countries that, you know, oppress the people. Like they aren't able to express themselves. They aren't able to practice whatever religion they want to practice. They aren't able to do a lot of things that we are able to do here. And sometimes we, you know, take that for granted just because we don't know. Sure. Right? So, for example, I had a guest from Ethiopia, and she explained how, like, the Ethiopian government, like, chooses their career depending on a 12th grade exam that they have to take. And I was like, wow, really? And then she was like, yeah. So, like, if you're, you know, for example, good at math and science, they'll put you, like, in engineering or, like, medicine and things like that. And so I was like, wow, that's interesting. But then I was kind of like thinking of it like in a positive way. That's just what I do. Like I automatically like try to find the good thing.
That's not a bad trait.
And so I immediately went to my example or my what happened to me at 18. Like I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was so overwhelmed with like the choices that we have here. I was like, I know I want to go to university, but I was like, what do I want to study? Like, what am I like? Then I had no idea that I was, you know, good at writing, or although I had written my whole life, but I never really thought about like pursuing that as a career, right?
Yeah.
So I was just like, what do I do? I was so overwhelmed. And so like my first 2 years of college was just like trying to figure out what to do. So I feel like I wasted a lot of time and money. But eventually, you know, God led me down the path of where I am now. And obviously, like back then, like podcasting, I had never heard of that, right? So I'm like, and now I'm a podcaster. So it's like, I never thought that that's what I would be doing. So I saw that positive. I was like, well, it could help people who are like me, who are like very undecisive, like don't know what they want to do. Have somebody tell you like, hey, you're good at this. You would be good at this career.
Sure.
Now, I didn't get into depth as like if they could change their career.
Okay.
So that I'm not sure. So if anybody knows and can let me know.
Yeah, yeah. Let us know.
I didn't end up asking her. That would have been a good follow-up question.
That's okay. But I always think of follow-up questions. I'll think of follow-up questions for you next week.
Exactly.
I'll write you on Instagram.
Or like when I'm editing, I'm like, yeah. Man, I should have asked this. Or I should have dug deeper into that. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, been there. Podcaster problems.
Yes.
Definitely. It's a hard task. I mean, truly, it's hard because you are, you know, I think people like podcasts, which mm-hmm. is great, and they've been elevated by some really big companies, you know.
Oh yeah.
Like everybody listens to at least one NPR podcast probably, yeah. right? Yeah. And so like they're heavily produced, they're, mm-hmm. you know, highly promoted, and in one sense it's been really great because it has legitimized mm-hmm. you know, podcasting. But in another sense, it's like, okay, we're over here though.
Yeah, we're the little people listen to us.
Yeah. I don't have like a team of producers to credit yes. after each episode.
It's just one woman show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anybody that does this, I have massive respect for after mm-hmm. doing it myself and being like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Supposed to keep this all together. But yeah, so I think it's beautiful. I love it so much. I want to roll back to mm-hmm. what you were talking about growing up mm-hmm. and having to kind of be like a liaison for your parents.
Yeah.
Did you move with your dad and stepmom? Or
yes. Okay. So I know I didn't mention my mom at all.
Oh, it's okay.
My mom, I lived with her until I was about 6 or 7 because that's when my parents got divorced. And then I moved in with my dad. She ended up moving here to Florida. So then I would just see her in the summer times. And then I think when I was like 9 or 10, that's when my stepmom and my dad got together. Okay. So, and then I moved in with them. And I do want to say like my stepmom does know English.
Okay.
She studied in the Dominican Republic, but there's still, you know, things that are
of
like,
course, yeah.
So helping both of them, and then sometimes her like helping my dad and stuff like that. But still, it was just like, you know, helping translate and yeah. and all that fun yeah. stuff.
Well, I think it again. This is not my experience, so I'm speculating here. Please mm-hmm. correct me if I'm wrong. But it's kind of seen as like it's an expectation for you, right? Like you're here, you're in school learning all of these things, mm-hmm. like. Why wouldn't I turn to you to be like, you need to kind of help me? And not in a bad way.
And that was an argument me and my dad had all the time. It's like, but you know English. You should know what it says. I was like, I don't know what this word says. Like, you know? And even sometimes adults don't even know what those official documents.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Right? And it's like, okay, yes, I go to school, but it's like, I'm only 9. I don't know.
No. Well, that's got to be so challenging yes. sometimes, right?
Because, yep.
And you think of your quote unquote average American 9-year-old not ever having to deal with that, right?
Like, yeah.
Even if you're in a non-traditional nuclear family, that's still a different thing that yes. you're dealing with.
Yes.
Having somebody that you're learning a culture as a child, but because you're a child, you're picking it up a lot quicker mm-hmm. and you're immersed in it a lot deeper. And so then you're having to kind of bring your parent along yes. with you.
Yep. Yeah. So let me put it in this perspective. Since I'm a writer, they always say to write at like an average 8th grade level. So then everybody can read it, right? 8th grade, how old are we at that age? Like 12, 13. Mm-hmm. So that's the level that they want you to write at. But if it's like, if you have like legal documents or like doctor stuff or whatever, like they don't write at an 8th grade level, right? So it's like, yeah, some of the stuff I didn't know as a 9-year-old or as whatever age I was.
Yeah.
And it was just like, yes, it was just something that we definitely clashed on all the time. And I recently talked to somebody about this because it was a fight. You know, it's like, you want to help your parents, but then like as a child, you don't want to. It was kind of like a hassle. You
sure.
know, it was like, oh, hey, I need this favor. Can you, you know, translate this for me? Or can you go with me to this doctor's appointment? Or my dad is really big on, he's a mechanic. So he's very big on like, you know, getting car parts and then having to return it and all that fun stuff. So like I had to go with him to like AutoZone and Advance Auto Parts and with him to like translate. And he was like, I understand them. It's the me talking back
yeah.
you know, that's where he struggled, because mm-hmm. he was like, a lot of people didn't want to understand him mm-hmm. because of his accent.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't want to spend that extra time to try to understand him.
Yeah.
And so that's happened to him. That's happened to my stepmom, who I said did learn English in the Dominican Republic. But obviously she has her accent, and, you know, her working in the medical field, she's gotten that multiple times. Like, I want a medical assistant that speaks English. Mm. Even now, she works from home, but she is on the phone. So she still gets patients that's like, can I talk to somebody who speaks English? It's heartbreaking, but she's kind of like, you know, like, what do you mean? Like, I'm talking English.
What do you think?
But it's the whole accent thing. And it's happened to my husband, too. He was actually he had two separate occasions that he has told me about. I don't know if it's happened more than that, but one of them was over the phone. He, you know, somebody asked for somebody who speaks English, and he's like, I am speaking English. Mm-hmm. He's like, no. I want somebody to speak English. He was like, okay. So he transferred them. But the other one was, he was at work, and this was in Michigan. And him and his friend were, you know, at lunch, I think it was. And they were just having a casual conversation in Spanish. And like, a lady walked by and was like, you need to talk English. And then my husband looked at her and was like, but we're not talking to you.
Yeah.
Like, we're having a conversation.
Yeah.
Well, this is, you know, the whole typical, this is America, speak English kind of thing. And it's like, but she's not even in the conversation.
Right,
like,
right.
I understand if it was like them three and then like they
of course
spoke Spanish to like kind of exclude her or whatever. Like, yes, that's rude. But it's like them two, his friend, are having a conversation. She's just walking by.
Right.
You know, so it's just things like that that has happened to our family. That is just like, that's why my dad wanted me to go with him. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, sometimes they don't want to understand me. And, you know, he just doesn't want to go through that.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I mean, obviously, now I understand as I'm older, but as a child, you're just like, I want to play.
Of course.
You know, like, I want to do this.
And you don't expect, there's grace for that, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That you are a child. But that's really heartbreaking. And I think it really brings up a huge gap in our understanding that I think it's worth talking about, clearly. Just this idea that there's this, like, distrust and dislike.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of somebody has an accent. And mm-hmm. I mean, even if they weren't speaking English, right? Like, I feel like we as Americans get so up on our high horse about like, everybody should speak English, but we're the first to go to a different country and expect everybody else there in their home to speak English to help us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're very fortunate that a lot of the times that actually is is something, mm-hmm. but that's lucky. Like, that's nice that can happen, but it's not because English is superior in any way. It's just the way the world is right now. So then when people come into our country, move to America, and they're not immediately immersed and adapted, we have very little patience mm-hmm. for them. And that's wrong. Like, there's mm-hmm. no reason why we should have such short fuses with this kind of thing. But I feel like it's been perpetuated a lot and mm-hmm. like media has a lot to do with that and kind of fueling that distrust and dislike along the lines of like all of the, like you were saying before, how immigration is reported on and what the kind of stigma is there. So I think that's an excellent point that even when people that speak English as a second language are speaking English, mm-hmm. it's still not good enough.
Yes. And it's like, staying on the language topic, I've realized, especially interviewing people from different countries, that they actually learn multiple languages in their home countries.
Yeah.
So it's not just their main language. It's, you know, like four other in addition to English.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, you're making fun of this person because they have an accent, but really they know they're smarter than you.
Yes, exactly.
Know? Like, they know more languages than you. So I've realized that a lot. And yes, English is typically another language that is taught in other countries. And also depending on which country, it could be the British English.
Right.
So I get that a lot from my guests. It's like, I thought I knew English until I got to the United States. And it's like, I don't know English. I don't. So they had to like relearn.
Yeah.
I wish the United States would emphasize more in teaching another language.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be Spanish. But Well, I guess also depends on where you are in the country, because I know like there's are bilingual schools, mm-hmm. but a lot of the time they're like, you know, private. So you had to, you know, pay right. and stuff. But I wish it was more emphasized from young to learn another language, because it is a lot better. It makes you a lot smarter and yeah. you're more open to like different cultures. You can talk to more people. It's just there's a lot of benefits to knowing more than one language. My daughter's at elementary school, for example. They don't teach Spanish until, like, I think middle school. And yeah. even then, it's, like, an elective. It's not even required.
Mandatory, yeah.
Yeah. So I wish that was emphasized here more, because I'm personally having trouble with my daughter because she went into school knowing Spanish, right? So obviously, she picked up the English very quickly. But now that she knows English, like, that's how she wants to talk to me.
Okay.
And I'm like, come on, like, yeah. well, you can speak Spanish, or like, I'll talk to her in Spanish. She understands it. Fine. It's just the responding back. Mm-hmm. She just wants to do it in English. And I'm like, but, and then I try to tell her like all the benefits. I was like, look, your stepdad was making more money because he knew Spanish.
Yes.
And I like try to give her so many examples, and she wants to be a teacher. So then I was like, okay, what if you're a teacher and then there's this kid who comes from a Spanish speaking country and you have to help him?
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like thinking like, oh yeah, that's true. But still, it hasn't convinced her. But the good thing is that she does go to the Dominican Republic to be with her dad in the summer. So that's where she's at okay. now. So I'm like, well, you have to speak Spanish over there.
There you
like,
go.
Like,
yeah.
you're, like, there's no choice, but she tells me that she speaks to me in English because I understand it. So that's why.
It's so interesting, though, because, like, as an adult, mm-hmm. I wish so badly that I knew more.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't have parents that spoke mm-hmm. a different language. You know, my family's been here for a few generations, and so when they came, they quickly, like, yeah. you know, shucked that off in favor of quote unquote acclimating, mm-hmm. right? And now I'm just like, man, I wish that was different. Like, I yeah. wish that it had just been carried down. And I think that comes with age to a certain mm-hmm. extent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's around her American yeah. peers and like all of that stuff. But being somebody that travels all the time, and like every time I'm in another country and English is not the main language there, and I'm speaking to somebody in English, I am just like, whether it's a waiter, a bus driver, a museum, you know, yeah. host, whatever, I'm just like, man, I'm like sucking at this. I'm speaking to you in English and you're responding to me in English. And like, I wish I could speak to you in German or French or Italian yeah, or yeah. Spanish or whatever it is. And I just really, there's so much value in it. And I just want to like echo what you've already said, which is that Americans could benefit so much
Gosh, yes.
from being, you know, introduced to languages from a young age.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like when I had to take Spanish starting in eighth grade, mm-hmm. but I only had to take it for 2 years.
Mm.
And it was such a introductory thing, and I didn't get good grades doing it. So yeah. I dropped it after a couple of years because I yeah. was like, it's not helping me. Yeah. I'm not getting good grades. Like, yeah. you know, exactly. And we had Spanish and weirdly German to choose from in my school. So those were the only two options. And it just was like this very small subset of the school experience. And not until later on in school. And I just think there would be so much value in teaching kids as soon as they start school. Like,
yeah.
why isn't that a part yeah. of expanding children's minds? And I agree. I think it makes us more intelligent.
Yeah. No, it definitely does. I want to ask you a question.
What?
It's the podcaster in me. No, just about the Spanish teacher. Was she like Hispanic or was she? She was American who's
yep.
speaking Spanish.
Yep.
Same.
Yep.
I took Spanish because it was a requirement for high school graduation.
Okay.
And I was like, but I already know Spanish.
Yeah.
So I tried to test out and I actually couldn't. I ended up being in Spanish 4 or something like that. So I was like, fine, I'll take Spanish 4. And then I realized, I was like, man, this is hard. Like, yeah, even for me who spoke Spanish. But it was just like, you know, the grammar.
I was just going to say, it's like the proper English stuff that English speakers wouldn't know either.
Exactly.
If they had to take an English class.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And so I was like, I was humbled a little bit. I will agree. But it was an American teacher who had, I don't know if she, well, she spoke Spanish, obviously with an accent, but I don't know if she had like just studied or she like specifically wanted to be a Spanish teacher. But yeah, that's what I wanted to ask, if it was a Hispanic person or an American who spoke Spanish.
It was hard because she was in her first year of teaching. So she was young. And my class was the first that it started mandatory a year earlier than they had been doing. Okay. So it was eighth grade, because weirdly enough, originally we had to take Latin in my school for 2 years. And then I took 1 year of Latin, and then they changed the program and started the other languages, Spanish and German, a year earlier. Anyway, all that information you didn't really need. But this woman was young. It was her first year of teaching, and we were a bunch of shithead eighth graders.
Giving her a hard time.
Yeah. And it was just awful. I did not learn one thing in that class. And so when I moved to Spanish 2, then I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I like struggled through Spanish 2. And my other Spanish teacher was from, she was an immigrant. Anyway, just to say, the foundation wasn't there. And so it made everything after that a lot harder.
Yeah.
And I quickly was like, forget it. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
And I wish I hadn't been like that. I also wish I had other options besides Spanish and German.
Yeah.
My family a few generations ago was from Italy, and I would have loved to learn Italian.
Italian. Oh, yeah. I know. And same thing for, as the generation goes on for us as immigrants too. I'm, you know, first generation, and my daughter is second. She doesn't want to speak the Spanish. So it's like, her kids, is she going to speak Spanish to them?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, as the generations go by, unfortunately, the culture kind of gets, you know, lost a little bit. That's just, you know, the way of life. But
absolutely. But it's awesome that she spends her summers in the DR. So hopefully she does hold on to.
I hope so. Yeah. I love that experience for her. Because even I, growing up, like going out there for summer or Christmases was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I just have such good memories. And I love being exposed to a different country, different culture than from the United States. And then just seeing how things are so different. And you just immediately realize, like, how rich we are here in the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, just from the roads to just everything, honestly. Mm. My daughter has told me, though, that the food is better in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, I believe
that. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You are correct.
But no, just, yeah, having that experience is, it's amazing. And then also now I can use that to relate to my guests, because a lot of the stuff that they say, I'm like, that reminds me of the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Yes, we do that too. And things like that. So it's obviously something that I, you know, experience back then, but like now I can use it as an adult.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And, you know, culture is such a, is a huge part of our identity, you know? And so to ask somebody to drop that as soon as they enter a new country is really unfair, and also really limits our communities as well, right?
Yeah.
Like if the more culture you bring into a community, the more diverse an area is or a community is, I believe the better it is, just because you have to keep your mind open when it's not just a bunch of people that think and look like you. And you tend to have communities that thrive better and that have to go through things together and work through some hard things together that people that, you know, look and talk and sound the same don't have to, they don't have to have those conversations.
No, thank you for saying that, because lately I've been seeing that that is one of the things that scares Americans about so many people coming, is like, are we going to lose our American culture, right? Because we have so many different, but I was just thinking, like, they're very adaptable.
Yeah.
Immigrants actually really adapt more to the American culture than them trying to change the culture here.
Oh, 100%.
Right? And I feel like that's just fear of the unknown, right? And so, like you said, like being around people who don't look and think like us can really expand our mind, and we can, you know, learn a lot more. But yeah, I just want to put it out there that we're more adaptable to the American culture than vice versa, than trying to, you know, change the culture here. It's yeah. like, no. And that is one of the questions that I asked my guests. It's like, how did you adapt,
yeah.
you know, to living here? How was that? And even when I interview children of immigrants, because our experience is completely different from native borns, I always ask, like, what is a culture that you guys kept, and then mm-hmm. like what is one that you guys adapted, you know? And it's been very nice to like hear the different answers. And it's like, you know, even in my family, like there's a lot of like Thanksgiving, for example, like they don't do that in the Dominican Republic. So like that's obviously something that we adapted here and, you know, gather and everything. And so things like that, like we have definitely adapted to the American culture and
yeah.
obviously kept some of our own traditions and things like that. So, for example, Christmas for us is on the 24th. So we celebrate, that's when we have the big dinner and do all the things. But here's the 25th.
Yeah.
So for us, it's like Christmas is on the 24th and the 25th is just like leftover day. You know? But that's a tradition that we've kept.
Yeah.
Right. But the Thanksgiving one is the one that we've adapted.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, and there's so much beauty in adopting other traditions and yeah. other cultures. And really, it's like, I think anybody that doesn't see the value in that just hasn't experienced
yeah.
it. Because once you experience it, you're like, wow, this is like so rich and so beautiful
mm-hmm.
and so fulfilling. I mean, truly, it is the best. Our cultures are the best of humanity.
Yeah.
You know, the best depictions of humanity.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important. And I see the line of culture kind of diminishing as generations go by. And part mm. of that, like you said, is just the reality mm-hmm. of generations, because things change and we grow and stuff. But I think as much as possible, if we can hold on to
yeah.
things that make us who we are and remind us of where we came from, that's
yeah.
that's super important. I hope that the conversation is turning a little bit, and that while slow, some more acceptance is coming, and hopefully more embracing of people and immigrants. And I know it's not everywhere, but
yeah.
I'm hoping that, you know, there are, you see these pockets throughout the country where immigrants are celebrated and you see such rich and vibrant cultures.
So ever since getting into this space and intentionally seeking out organizations that help with immigration and things like that, I have come across this very specific organization, and I mention it a lot in my podcast, Women of Welcome, and they are led by, you know, a white woman, and her intention with the organization is to share like biblical truths of how the Bible talks about immigration and how we should embrace and how we should treat, you know, the vulnerable, because the Bible talks about that all the a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started this organization in 2016, I think she says, or 2017. I interviewed the director recently. And yeah, it's just like spreading truth, biblical truth, on how we should approach the thing that talks about immigration. And they have a Facebook group, they have an Instagram. And then they have Bible studies, too, that you can download to, you know, help you see things in a biblical way. And I love the work that they're doing, because it's led by a Native American, not a Native American, sorry, but somebody born here, like an American. sorry.
No, it's okay. Like, it's so funny.
Because I'm so used to say Native born and
yes.
like immigrant, but she's not Native American. She's white.
Jesus. I love that.
So it's just nice to see that it's an organization started by a white
yeah.
woman, not an immigrant, to help spread that to
yeah.
her, you know, to her circle and things like that. Because I feel like that's where the change can happen a little bit. It's someone who, you know, look like, I'm not white, but so I can say somebody who looks like me, but, you know, somebody who is not an immigrant, who
yeah.
is doing the work
Absolutely.
For people who do look different than her. And I honestly appreciate all the work that they're doing. So I have seen that, and I have seen in the Facebook group, there are women from all over the country, and they talk about the work that they're doing in their community.
Mm.
They're also talking about the challenges of, like, you know, their family members, what they see on the news, and, like, them trying to come in. It was like, no, but the truth is XYZ.
Yeah.
And just having those hard conversations with their family. And so, yes, since joining the Facebook group, I do see that there are talks, you know, happening all around the country. But, you know, change is slow.
Yes.
It is. And so I have been asked if I received like any like negativity because of my podcast. And mm-hmm. I was like, not yet. I know that it will be coming, but not yet. But I do truly feel that this is my God-given purpose, because honestly, after I do an interview or after I meet with somebody, like I get such a high.
Yeah.
Afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yes, Lord, like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So just being part of that group has been amazing and has opened up my eyes too. It's like, okay, it's not just immigrants who care about this. There are non-immigrants who care. And I'm so grateful for that. So I want to start a series of immigrant allies, just like interviewing people who have helped immigrants and then ask like and talk about like what capacity and why do they feel that it's important to do that. So, yeah, that's why I am seeing slowly but surely, you know, talks being changing. And I have been aware of like things being going on around the country. So that gives me hope.
Good. I'm glad because it can be hard. It can feel like two steps forward, one step back kind of thing. And change on such a mass level like that is really, really slow.
Yes,
and it's not like it's first of all, it's not permanent, right? Mm-hmm. Like anything could happen. But second of all, it's not going to be everybody, right? Yeah. There are going to be people always that just stay in their ignorance. Mm-hmm. And that is across all things, right? Mm-hmm. Like not just immigration. And so, you know, and that's really difficult. That's really difficult to be educated on something, to have personal experience with something, and to come against people that are just saying like, nope, I don't want to hear it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I just like, I have this dislike or I have this distrust and I don't have a reason for it, but I'm going to stay in this.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of, because I'm sure you run up into that, maybe not in your podcast, but in your personal life. So how do you kind of deal with that when there's so much like you see such value, obviously, and you love your family and friends and your community? Mm-hmm. How do you keep your hope and not get like so angry and bitter about it?
Yeah. So I try to, especially in social media, just try to spread truth. If I see that there's anything that's misleading or that is incorrect, I, you know, try to either respond or publish whatever, like the truth, right? And it usually mostly happens on Twitter.
Okay. I stay away from Twitter. So maybe
Twitter is dangerous, guys. Let me just say that. And even my husband sometimes tells me, like, you're wasting your time. You're not going to convince these people. And I'm like, but the way that I approach is by love. The thing is that I do see that a lot of people attack each other, right? And even comments on Facebook or Instagram, like I do go through those comments and just seeing them, just like there's so much hate and it's like, why?
Yeah.
But usually just try to respond in love. And it's like, okay, but have you thought about this? Or this is not true. This is actually what the truth is and things like that. And yes, they come at me and, you know, but I don't attack. I don't, you know, name call, none of that. It's always out of love, just out to spread truth and things like that. So what keeps me going is definitely God. God is the one who gives me strength and the hope and everything. And it's like you said, not everyone's going to be open. Those are not my people.
Yeah. Hey, I like that.
My people are who are open, who are willing to listen to these stories, to learn, to just see that the way that you do things is not how everybody else does things.
Right.
And that's not mean that it's wrong. It's just different. And so that's why, like I was telling you before we recorded, it's like I was thinking yesterday, I was like, wow, my podcast is very specific. So those who listen, you know, I'm grateful because they are willing to listen to these stories. They are willing to open up their minds and learn of these new cultures and things like that. And looking at the the stats of the podcast, like, it's not only listened here in the United States, it's also listened, you know, in a lot of different countries. I was up to over 80 countries at one point, and, like, that wasn't my intention. Like, yeah, you know, it's a United States-specific podcast about immigrants coming here. But then I also start, because I noticed that a lot of people from different countries were listening, I started asking my guests to give advice if anybody was thinking mm-hmm. of coming to the United States, you know? Because they come from, you know, all over the world. And it's like, okay, now they can hear this experience of how people who have come, like what they actually went through. Because the other thing is, outside of the United States, there are people who have certain expectations of the United States before they come. You know, and I do ask my guests, and a lot of them does come from music videos, from movies, from TV shows. And so, like, they come and they think everything is going to be like the TV shows and yep. the movies and everything. And once they get here, it's a hard reality, you know? It's
yeah.
So I'm glad that it is listened worldwide. And if there are somebody thinking of moving to the United States, they can get a realistic picture yeah. of what actually happens once you get here.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I was talking about that with someone recently, how it's like, you know, every TV show or whatever takes place in New York or LA, right? And so because America is so big,
yes,
the United States is so big, you know, I think most people don't realize how we have like every landscape there possibly yeah. is to have mm-hmm. in the United States. And so you pick, like, you eeny, meeny, miny, moe and pick. Yes. And it's like you could land in the Midwest somewhere and be mm-hmm. like, what the heck is this? Like,
that happened to a guest of mine. It did. Her episode is not published yet, but they were fleeing a war. And she was like, literally, they just like went on the map and was like, this is where we're going to go. And it was like Kansas.
Oh, or no. Something.
Yes. And there was, I think they were, her and her family were the only immigrant in the neighborhood. So it was hard for them because they didn't have anybody who spoke their language. They, you know, and they came from Europe. So people immediately thought that they were a white American. But then once they heard them talk, they're like, you know, like, you're not from mm-hmm. here kind of thing. So it was really, but that's exactly what it was. It was like, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, this is where we're going to land. But no, that is very true. Depending on where they go depends on a lot of stuff, like what they experience. So, for example, if they're used to like a tropical weather and they go to New York
yeah.
and like they see like this winter and the snow and everything, like that's been a huge cultural shock.
Yes.
I had a guest who, she came as a little girl. And when she saw snow, she thought the sky was falling.
Oh, wow.
So she was afraid, terrified to go outside. And, like, they had to, like, bribe her. Like, we're going to get you ice cream or whatever, like, to go outside. Because she was just terrified of the snow.
So, like, who cares about ice cream? The sky is falling.
Yeah, the sky is falling, exactly. So, yeah, it depends. If you, you know, land in California, that's a whole different thing than landing in New York.
Absolutely.
And even up north, Michigan, compared to Florida, it's just completely different. We have, like, yeah. little countries within our country.
We do, truly, because then you also talk about the culture, like... Mm-hmm. You know, for whatever it's worth, American culture, yeah, it exists, but mm-hmm. it exists because all of the other cultures exist, right?
Like, yeah.
So there's that. But then also you have New York culture and California culture,
oh, yeah.
and that is totally different. And then you have Midwest culture, mm-hmm. and then you have the South culture.
Yeah.
Like, it's all so different. And so, again, you see something on TV, mm-hmm. which is generally either a New York or California yep. culture, and then anything that's not that is so weird. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what did I step into?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And there's no other, you know, we can have obviously very big misconceptions about other cultures as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we don't necessarily watch TV shows or music videos to find out about the culture because yeah. not nowhere else is as widespread. Like, American TV and movies are so popular, and music mm-hmm. are so popular
worldwide
yep. and nothing else really is like that mm-hmm. going the yeah. other way. So, you know, we don't have that as much. We have our own preconceived notions based oh, on yeah. like nonsense as well. So yeah, I don't yeah, want to yeah. pretend we don't, but yeah, it's a really interesting kind mm-hmm. of piece of the puzzle there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How did you meet your husband?
We met through mutual friends here in Florida.
Okay.
Funny story, he lived in Michigan also for 15 years. But we didn't meet in Michigan. We met here. And
so also, wait, what? Why Michigan?
I don't know. The reason, well, yeah, I had mentioned the reason why my dad moved was because of the work and then his traumatic experience. But they also moved from Dominican Republic to New York. And then I believe it was that they needed to, I think his mom had found a job in Michigan.
Okay.
I think they were just looking out of New York. And I believe she was also told, like, you know, there's jobs here. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how his mom got to Michigan, but she was like, I'm going to go for 2 weeks to find a job. And if I get a job, then we're moving. And I think it was like a few days later, like she got a job. And so she was like, okay, we're moving. He didn't want to move at all. He was 14 from New York to Michigan. So he was 14. He was just getting used to, from 9 to 14, just getting used to living in New York, you know, friends and everything. They were heavily involved in church, Seventh-day Adventist. So it was like church was like every day of the week. So then they moved in Michigan. And so he actually knew some of my family members.
Oh.
Yeah. So he worked with my uncle and my aunt in the same company. And then he went to church with one of my cousins. And so, yeah, he knew my family members. My stepmom knew him before, like, we ever got together.
Interesting.
But we didn't meet each other in Michigan. We met in Florida with mutual friends. And so, yeah, we knew of each other. And then one day, my Facebook anniversary, a friendship anniversary thing came up. And so I sent him a message like, hey, we've been friends for a year. And he was like, how can that be? I feel like I barely know you. And so he sent me his number. And yeah.
And the rest is history.
He says that I was the one who was interested first because I sent that friend anniversary. But I was like, you gave me your number first.
Yeah.
So
it didn't have to get that serious.
Exactly. But I'm glad it did.
Yeah, exactly. But P.S. Yes. Yeah, that's good.
So yeah, the rest is history. We just, you know, started texting and talking, and then there was a Jay-Z concert that I was gonna go to with my aunt. And then I remember sending him, because he was also a huge Jay-Z fan, so I remember sending him the picture of the ticket, and then he was like, oh, you're going? I was like, yeah, I'm going with my aunt, who he knew. And so, but as soon as I sent him that picture, I felt like something was going to happen, that she wasn't going to be able to go. And that's exactly what happened. She got sick. And she was like, I was like, you need to get better before this concert.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with or without you.
Yep.
Like, it's Jay-Z. No, like, I got to go. So she ended up getting, I think she had the flu. So she really couldn't go. And she was like, fine, see if Jonathan wants to go. And I was like, I don't know. Like, we haven't talked about, like, going on a date or anything like that. So then she was like, he's the only one I would give up my ticket for. I was like, okay. So I sent him a text message literally the day before. I was like, hey, my aunt can't go. Are you free tomorrow night? And then he was like, sure. And I was like, no way. So that was our first date.
Oh, sweet.
Jay-Z concert. And then we went out.
Could be worse.
To eat. And it was an amazing time. Like, it was amazing. So that's our little story.
Good. That's awesome. What brought you both to Florida?
Me, it was after my daughter was born. Like, 4 months after my daughter was born, I was pretty much the only one left in Michigan. So I was just, like, by myself.
Oh, your dad's not there anymore.
No, they had moved to Florida. When was it? Oh, after I graduated high school.
Oh, okay.
So they were actually trying to leave the year, my last school year. And I was like, you guys, what are you doing? Like, I literally have gone to school with these people since third grade.
Yeah.
Seriously. So they waited an additional year till after I graduated, and then they left. And I stayed back in Michigan. I did the year and a half there of college, and I ended up getting pregnant. And so I was like by myself, and I was like, okay, I need to, you know, just be with family. So
yeah,
went down to Florida, and then he moved. He lived in Michigan a total of 15 years. And by the time he was 30, he was like, I need a change in my life. Like, it was like, I just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. I need a change of scenery. So his job was offering a transfer to Florida. And so that's how he ended up here. So,
man, I was like, if two people weren't more meant to be than the two of you.
Thanks. So I was like, so if your transfer would have been to Arizona, he's like, Arizona would have been it. I was like, oh, wow. So now he, like, loves Florida. I'm trying to get out of Florida. He's, like, stuck here. So I was like, oh, fine.
What does he do?
He works for Farmers Insurance. But based at, out of Farmers Insurance, there's an umbrella of an insurance company called Bristol West.
Okay.
So he works with them, and he's a coverage analyst. So when people get into accidents and they don't have insurance, he gets that claim.
Oh.
So he's the barrier of bad news.
Wow. Yeah. That is not, that does not sound like a fun job.
I told him, I was like, literally, you give bad news all day. Yeah. That's what you do.
Does he like his job?
No. So I'm like, how are you still working here? No, but he's been with the company for 17 years now.
Oh, wow.
Because he started off with Farmers, and then he transitioned to Bristol West when they did the transfer. But I'm like, get out of this. But he's one of those people who's like very, it's a stable job. It pays good, you know, good insurance. So he's like one of those people. I'm just like, we were actually talking about this the other day. Oh my gosh. In the 6 years that we've been together, I've had, and this probably sounds really bad, I've had seven different jobs.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's had one, you know? So I'm just like, I'm just that go-getter. And if I'm not happy, I'm not going to stay, you know? Or if I had good opportunities, I'm going to go for them. But he's just that, like, I'm good. Even though I don't like my job, it pays the bills.
No. But it's so interesting, actually, because I think that's such a... There's a split happening right now in, I don't know, I can't speak for the rest of the world, but I know in American culture with our generation, which is, you know, up until recently, everything's been about a career, right?
Yeah.
Like you stay with one company for as long as possible. But what that used to mean was that you had a pension.
Yeah.
Maybe you were part of a union.
Yeah.
You got to move up in your career. Mm-hmm. You know, you worked up the ladder and like you had opportunities. Right. And so like you weren't just existing within this career. And so the shift has come now where it's like, well, I want more purpose in my life than that. Things have changed. Technology has changed so much. And so there are more opportunities and they're different opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so now what I value more is my time and, you know, my ability to be happy.
Yep.
And so that's more important than necessarily the quote unquote loyalty of staying at one job.
Yeah.
And I think it's such an interesting conversation to have because people get really like offended on one side or the other, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no, this is how you have to do it. Yeah. No, this is how you should do it.
So where that come for him staying at this job, where that comes from, because we talked about it, it was just like, you know, his mom told him, it was like also from like an older generation mindset,
exactly,
like you said, but his mom told him, was like, you find a good job, you stay there,
right?
Pretty much,
right?
You know, and that's just what he's done. He's like, you know, it's gets paid good, like I said, good benefits. Honestly, because of his job and his benefits, we were able to buy the house that we're at, you know. And I joke with him, I was like, you bought me a house. Legit.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, like we fixed his credit, but he was able, you know, to buy us the house, you know, without me putting any financial thing into it. So he was able to do it on his own. So that's why I joke with him like that. But because of his job, we are able to do a lot of things, you know. And so after, you know, we had our son, I've realized, because I've tried to push him to like do more, right? And let motivate him. And it's like, I know you're not happy, look for a different position or a different, you know, job or whatever. But obviously at the end of the day, that has to come from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've realized like his thing, especially after having our son, is just like his outside of work, like his really his purpose, his thing is like being a good father and a good husband. And that fulfills him.
Yeah,
he's such a homebody. So he's like, you know, as long as I have my family's okay, as long as I'm still bringing in income and I can play my video games, I'm good. He's good.
There you go.
So like I've tried to push him, and like I was telling you about my friend slash business coach, one of our first meetings, she was like, let him be.
Yeah.
You know, and he's very supportive of everything that I do. And she was like, you know what? You need that stability. Mm-hmm. If you guys are both go-getters,
yes,
you guys will clash. Yep. So she was like, let him be.
He balances
and I was like,
you out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because like truly, there's nothing wrong with staying in one place. And it's just the idea of there being a right or wrong way to do it, right? Like, do what works for you. As long as you can be responsible and support yourself and not, you know, dig yourself into like a really bad situation, do what works for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, he has his outlet. Yeah, I mean, obviously he doesn't like what he does, but he's like, after work, I have my outlet, I have my family. Like, he plays his video games to, like, detach, mm-hmm. you know, like, that's his thing. And so, like, I don't get on him about that, you know, because mm-hmm. he, like I said, he's such a homebody. So he's like, he doesn't, like, go out or anything. He's just home. So I'm just like, yeah, like, he, that, honestly, in him having that stability, he, once we got together, he brought that stability into my life, which is something that I needed. And yeah. I didn't realize I needed until we got together. Mm. So it's like, we, like you said, we balance each other out.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty exactly. cool. Yeah, exactly. Well, kind of on that note, I want to ask you something then. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, again, you have a lot more of experience with this. So regarding immigrants coming mm-hmm. to the country, it's like, and your podcast is called The American Dream Through the Eyes of Immigrants, yes. correct? So when we talk about the American dream, a lot of that is getting to America, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. that is like a big part of the dream is just like
getting here,
being mm-hmm. here. So do you think on some level, for a lot of immigrants too, because I do notice that, you know, the people that tend to be like a little looser with like, I don't want to be settled, I want to be kind of around, are people that haven't made that initial move, right? Do you think it's because that dream was realized? And so it's like, well, I'm here. Like, I don't necessarily feel like I have to do more. Yeah. And I don't mean that in like a, their settling way, but just like they are happy where they're at. They're happy being in the 9-to-5 space and they have their family and
Hispanics whatever. Are very loyal.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like if they find something that works, why change it?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Interesting that you say that because Barack Obama had a documentary on Netflix and I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's about working people. Mm. And there were a few immigrants there who had been in their company 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And it's that. It's like they got here, they found a good job.
Yep.
The benefits and everything. So it's like, why leave?
Right. You why know? Mess with it?
And it comes from that. It's like, okay, I'm already here.
Right.
You know, that's their American dream to get here. Found a good job, stable, you know, so they stay 20 plus years. There was also, we were watching Undercover Boss. And so like the immigrant workers that they would show on the episode, same thing, 10 plus years, 20 plus years that they're within a company. Same. It's yeah. just like they found something good that pays the bills, that works for them. They didn't find the reason to leave.
Yeah.
They're here, you know, and it's like not settling, but it's like their, like you said, like their goal, their dream was to be here. They mm-hmm. have that. So it's like now we have a stable job.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But they're loyal. They're yeah. very, very loyal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also I think too, like their children then have different opportunities and, oh, and yeah. maybe that's also part of that dream, right? Mm-hmm. Like I got here. That was my dream. I got here. I have the job. I'm bringing the money home. I'm supporting my family so that my kids can do something different or, you know, have a different way of life,
oh, yeah.
you know? So there's just so much. It's so obviously family oriented, mm-hmm. but I think on a very basic level, we would mm-hmm. all like to say that we want things to be better for future generations.
Yes.
But immigrants specifically are walking that out day yeah. to day, which is pretty incredible because what then they're saying is like, I know I'm not going to have the same life that my kids are going to have. They're going to have a better life, but I want that for them.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to make the sacrifices in my lifetime so that they can do what they want in yeah. their lifetime and then carry that through.
So let me go back to the whole working thing because I thought about something else. I also think it comes like from their culture. I'm thinking like of my family, like it's not common to change jobs
yeah.
so much back home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like same thing, like, you know, I think my stepmom did end up working at a hotel, but she was there for like many years. And then like her mom was an accountant and she worked in, you know, one firm many, yeah. many years. Her dad had one job, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So it's not as common, like me, like I've had 7 jobs, right? right? Like yeah. that's unheard of over there. So I think it also comes from that too.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, back home, it's like, yeah, you have your career, your job, you stay there.
Yeah. I think that is a very American trait too, right?
Like to this, change, yeah.
Well, and just the idea that there's so much opportunity that you can, which is, you know, a
the
very
land of opportunities. That's what they call it. Yes.
It's a beautiful expression. Yeah,
I mean, and that's why I've had change so much, honestly. Sometimes it was because I was unhappy. One time it was because, like, I needed to make more money. So, mm-hmm. I had to go. And then the other one was my most recent job. I wasn't looking for a job. Mm-hmm. I was perfectly fine where I was at. And my friend told me, like, my job needs coders. I'm a medical coding analyst now. And so she was like, we need coders. And I was like, I'm good mm-hmm. where I'm at. Like, I legit saw myself long term at the hospital I was working. I was like, I'm going to work my way up the ladder. I'm going to be the CEO of this hospital. That was my dream.
Yes.
And so she was like, oh, we need coders. And she was like, the starting pay is XYZ, which was like almost $20,000 that I was making. And I was like, hold up.
Yeah.
So I told my husband that. I was like, wait, this is the starting pay. He was like, where do you apply?
Let's
go. So I was like, okay. So I applied and I just left it in God's hands. That's legit what I said. I was like, if it's for me, God, you'll make a way.
Yep.
And when they called me, I forgot that I had applied because they called me like 2 weeks later because that's how much I wanted this job.
Yeah,
you know? I completely forgot that I had applied. And so long story short, I ended up, you know, getting the job in the position, but it was like because of an opportunity that came up. I wasn't looking for it.
Yeah.
But it's like God, you know, blessed me with $20,000 more.
Hey.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. I
love that. So looking ahead, mm-hmm. what are your hopes for your podcast, but the extension of that, immigrants in general, like, you know, you obviously have a stake in this game. So,
oh my gosh, there's so much. And I get a new idea every single day.
Great.
Like, I know my husband's tired of like, oh, we could do this or we could do that. But okay. So first, I want to write a book. This one will be an extension of the podcast. I want to share some of the stories in there, but then also incorporate the history of immigration.
Wow.
So the how policies got started, what was going on in that time that these policies were written. And I've started to do some research already, and it's been very fascinating, the information that I have found. So I want to write a book, and then I also would like to do a documentary. That, like, sharing the stories of people and, like, kind of sharing, like, their everyday life, mm-hmm. right? And then I also want to do, like, a TV show.
Yes.
So I'm
thinking. Girl, I am there. Dream it. Let's go.
So I am thinking, and I am saying this now because I'm putting it out there because it's going to happen.
Yes.
It is. So my TV show is, I want to incorporate food.
Okay.
With it because, one, I'm a foodie. Mm-hmm. I love food. I love trying new food. But I also was thinking, like, if the guest likes to cook, mm-hmm. they can cook, like, their traditional meal. Mm-hmm. So they show us how they cook it and, like, where it comes from and kind of, like, the history of it. And then while we sit down and eat, they can tell us their immigration story.
Stop it. I love that. I would read, watch, and listen to all of those things. So, yes.
So those are my expansion of the podcast. I'm like, man, there's so much that I could do with this. And so I've been writing it all down, thinking of ways. Right now, my goal is just to expand the reach of the podcast.
Yeah.
But eventually I would like for it obviously to get bigger and things like that. So yeah, those are my...
Honestly, I'm so happy that you put it out there because I think it's so important to dream that on a massive scale, right? Like you're only limiting yourself if you're limiting your dreams. But what I also love about your project is that all it is doing is highlighting voices, is elevating voices that don't often get heard.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. I've talked about this several times with several of my guests, but there's so much celebrity culture. We place such value on celebrity in our community and or in our culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not that it's inherently bad, but we often diminish other voices in favor of those we've deemed worthy of our time and attention for really no purpose other than they have been deemed famous within the context of our culture.
Well, I do want to interview some famous immigrants, though.
Hey, that's great. I'm not, no knocking that. And honestly, like, this isn't a to bash celebrities at all. Just to say, like, I love that what you're doing, because it's also something that's really close to my heart. It's trying to elevate stories of people that don't have a platform to tell them necessarily. And if you get other people that do have a platform to tell their stories, that's also fantastic. But
I love the concept that you are traveling and doing the face-to-face, because we had talked before and I told you, like, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Like, be able to go to their place and just talk, or have them come here and then we can do that face to face. Because I am going to start launching a podcast, or not a podcast, sorry, YouTube channel with the podcast.
Okay.
Because from when I started, it was audio only. So it's been audio only. So then I was like, okay, it's better to put the face, you know? So it would be amazing to be able to travel and, like, see that. But eventually when I get the TV show, that's what I'm going to be doing.
There you go. Yes, that's right. Yes. That's right. Fantastic. I love it. Thank you. I love it so much. So I want to know where everybody can find you, because you have a bunch of stuff out.
I do. I know. I do so much. You can find me on Instagram. My handle is my name, HEIDY, period, DELACRUZ 13. So Heidi, period, De La Cruz 13. There you can find the link to everything. I have a weekly newsletter that is like a personal development, you know, tips and stuff. I also share like book reviews and like my opinions on different things and faith-based encouragement posts. So there's the link to that. There's the link to my podcast, The American Dream in the Eyes of Immigrants. And the link to my poetry book is there as well. And my blog and journals and notebooks.
Perfect. Everything. Perfect. Well, and we'll link all of that in our show notes too. So people will be able to go find your Instagram and everything else, and definitely give that podcast a listen, because it's really valuable. Really, really valuable.
Thank you.
But yeah, so thank you so much for doing this with me, for meeting up with me. She got this like awesome space. We're sitting in an actual little podcast studio, which I have never recorded in before. It's always been at like somebody's kitchen table. So this has been fantastic. And it's been great to meet you in person, because we've been talking for a few weeks. So all right. Well, best of luck with everything that you're doing. And I can't wait to watch your TV show one day and be like, I knew about this. I knew this was gonna happen.
Thank you so much for having me and being, you know, willing to do this face to face, and actually willing to give me the platform to talk about it, because you know, not everybody cares, but thank you.
I think there are, unfortunately, sometimes the people that don't care like to make their voices louder than everybody else, but there are a lot of people that see value in what you're doing. So keep doing it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Human Experience. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe, share it with your friends and family, share it on social media, and rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also support the podcast financially by going to my website, thehxpod.com, linked in the show notes, and clicking on donate. It takes a lot of time and resources to create this podcast, so every little bit helps. Everyone has a story, and I'd love to hear yours. So be sure to check out the show notes for more information about how to stay in touch. Do good and love well.